When we put Jesus first and our family second, that's the ordered love that God calls for in the scriptures, and it actually makes us better family members.
Welcome to Tell Podcasts. You're listening to encouraging words from Pastor Darren, bringing you truth and peace through God's word. In this episode, we talk about times when bad things happen to Christians. Does it mean that Jesus isn't with us during those times? Think, evaluate, learn, lead. T-E-L-L. Tell. Now here's Pastor Darren reminding us that Jesus always works here. Thanks for listening.
I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 8. This is like a day in the life of Jesus. So there's a lot going on in Matthew chapter 8. We're going to cover it today under the theme of what it's like to be on a mission trip. So Jesus has a mission and a purpose for all of us. We're going to see what that is in action here in Matthew chapter 8. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the lake. That's the Sea of Galilee. Then a teacher of the law came to him and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Another disciple said to him, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the wind and waves obey him." When he arrived at the other side in the region of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men coming from the tombs met him. They were so violent that no one could pass that way. "What do you want with us, Son of God?" they shouted. "Have you come here to torture us before the appointed time?" Some distance from them, a large herd of pigs was feeding. The demons begged Jesus, "If you drive us out, send us into the herd of pigs." He said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and died in the water. Those tending the pigs ran off, went into the town, and reported all this, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the whole town went out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they pleaded with him to leave their region. That's our section of God's word for today. He talks about the comforts of home and actually warns both of the followers of this. Be careful that you don't allow the comforts of home to get in the way of Jesus' mission in your life. So the first one comes to him and says, "Hey, I'll go wherever you go, Jesus. I'll follow you wherever you go." And Jesus had this concern, like this guy thought that being on a mission trip with Jesus was like paradise and that he could have all the comforts of home. So Jesus reminded him, "Hey, buddy, I'm away from home. I don't have any place to lay my head, and you won't either if you're going to follow me. You better rethink this." The second one comes to him and is looking for an excuse to not follow him based on Jesus' words. So this man says, "Jesus, I want to follow you, but I got some family business to take care of first." He actually says, "I want to bury my father. So I want to have this funeral for my father." And Jesus' response is striking. Jesus says, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead." Kind of a strange statement. Scholars struggle to explain it, so there's a couple different explanations as we unpack what Jesus means there. Here's the best one that I believe is correct. When Jesus says, "Let the dead bury their own dead," let those who are not spiritually alive in faith, those who are not my followers, not believing in me, let them take care of all that other business that keeps them from following me. It's going to be that way. And so he's saying to this person, don't be one of them. Don't let other things, particularly family concerns, home comforts, get in the way of following me. Let all the rest do that. Don't be one of them. That's his warning for this man and his warning for us. So Jesus is looking for unconditional commitment from you. He's looking for you to not let anything at home or in family ever compromise your commitment to following him. Now here's the good news. Jesus sets the pace for that himself. So when Jesus came to this planet to save us, Jesus had a family, an earthly family on this planet. Jesus shows us how he was committed to us beyond being comfortable with home comforts, with family convenience. So, first of all, Jesus left heaven, the paradise of heaven, no sin, no shame, no ickiness, and Jesus came to this planet to save us. That shows that he wasn't interested in comforts. He left the comforts of paradise to come here. And then what he told the first follower, he said, technically speaking, Jesus had a home in Capernaum, but Jesus is saying, I'm on the road all the time. I'm rarely there. I'm not experiencing the comforts of home because why? Jesus was out on the road saving and teaching and forgiving and healing. So he didn't have that family life, the home comforts to enjoy. He left them behind. Jesus wasn't married. He didn't enjoy coming home to a wife, spending time together as a husband and wife, as a couple. He gave up marriage to be our Savior. Jesus had an earthly family, but he didn't let them get in the way of his mission and his purpose. You think particularly, those of you who are Bible readers will remember this story. Remember the story in Luke chapter 2 where Jesus was 12 years old. And when he was 12 years old, his family went to Jerusalem for the Passover, for the celebration. And then what happened? Jesus, 12-year-old Jesus, stayed in the temple. His family left, figuring like they did in those days, that he was running around with the cousins and he was with a family caravan somewhere. And they left to go back to their hometown, but Jesus stayed in the temple. And then they eventually, his mom and dad, discovered he wasn't with the family, he wasn't with the cousins. Oh no, they went back to Jerusalem to find him. Remember what he said to his mom and dad when they came back and said to their 12-year-old son, what are you doing? Jesus said, didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? So Jesus let his relationship with his Father, God the Father, define his relationship with the rest of his family, not the other way around. This is huge for us. For marriages, for parenting, for having parents, for sibling rivalries, for being a spiritually vibrant family, for parenting grown children, for becoming empty nesters, for sending your 3-year-old off to preschool for the first time, to aging, everything. This is huge that when we put Jesus first and our family second, that's the ordered love that God calls for in the scriptures, and it actually makes us better family members when Jesus is first, when we don't allow our family to compromise in any way. That's what Jesus did. Matter of fact, he didn't even let his mother and her pain that she was experiencing as she watched him suffer, and she even watched him die on the cross. He didn't let the pain of his mother stop him from putting first his priority for God the Father and going to the cross to save us. And then all of that commitment to his Father, all of those hard decisions, you and I know how hard those decisions are made, sometimes family and God, and which, how do we put one first? All of those he gave to his Father as a gift and said, here, I give it to you as a gift, and now it's my gift for them. Credit anyone who believes in me, Father, credit them with my righteous obedience, and that is yours. Jesus obeyed the Father on your behalf. And now it's not your job to try to make payment for any of your sins. Jesus paid for all those. So what does he want from you? He doesn't want you to work to pay for your sins. He wants you to work to follow him. He wants you to put him first and to let him define who you are, and then let that define your relationships, even with your closest relationships with your family. So follow Jesus first, and let your faith in him and the mission that he has and his purpose for you in your life, the callings that he gives you, let that impact your relationship with your family, and you'll be a better family member to everyone in your family. That's the first big thing that Jesus wants you to know when you're on a mission trip with him. Here's a second big thing, and it happens in Matthew chapter 8 here. Have you ever tried or been trying to do something good, and when you're doing something good, you experience something really bad? We see it all the time that bad things happen to good people. This is what happens now when the disciples experience a storm. But I'm going to tell you this. There's a lie that's woven in here somewhere, and we have to be very careful about this. We have to identify it clearly and then unpack it, which Jesus does. And that lie is this. When I'm doing what Jesus wants me to do, I can expect to be protected, totally protected from trouble, hardship, or pain, instead of walking into them when I'm doing what Jesus wants me to do. We have this expectation in our world of like this, what I deserve when I'm trying to do something good. I was working in the yard yesterday. I was trying to keep up our yard. I was pruning something out of a shrub, and a swarm of bees attacked, and I got stung by a wasp right there on my forehead. It feels like my forehead has a grapefruit on it right now. It probably doesn't look that big, but it hurts. I was trying to do something good, and something bad happened. Just this morning, we found one of our cross lifers was exercising, was just trying to keep healthy, and she fell and broke her elbow. Bad things happen when we're trying to do good things, and they're going to happen. Let's unpack exactly what we should expect. So we look at the disciples. We see that Jesus gives his disciples a command and a promise. Go to the other side of the lake. There's a command and a promise in there. The command is go. The promise is we're going to make it to the other side of the lake. So he gives them this command and this promise. What happens? A furious storm, this is verse 24, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. How can the Son of God, Jesus, send these willing, kind-hearted disciples? All they want to do is listen to Jesus. All they want to do is follow him and do what he says. He sends him on this mission, and in the middle of the mission, a deadly storm arrives. Can't Jesus take care of this and keep the storm from happening in the first place? How can the Son of God appoint you to become a parent, and you do become a parent, only to discover that you're the parent of a special needs child who requires way more sacrifice from you than you signed up for? How can the Son of God ask you to be a leader of people you lead, people who are turning against your leadership when you're just trying to do the right thing? How can the Son of God, Jesus, say, I want you to give willingly and generously and sacrificially to my mission of the church, and you want to do that, but the IRS tax code changes to the tune of thousands of dollars that you will lose? That your water heater goes out, the air conditioner unit goes out, and you discover that your middle child needs braces. Why did those things happen? Here's the answer. We find the answer in Jesus himself. And let me just ask it simply this way. A couple quick questions, very easy to answer. Kids, you could probably even answer these questions. Jesus is the Son of God. Is he perfect? Yes or no? Absolutely. Jesus is perfect. He's the Son of God. Second question, did Jesus ever experience trouble, hardship, or pain? Yes. So understand this, first and foremost. If you experience trouble, hardship, or pain in your life, it does not mean it's punishment for sin. It does not mean that you shamed God in some way, and he's looking at you in guilt, and he's angry at you, and he's causing you to have a flat tire on the freeway on your vacation. It doesn't mean he's disapproving of your vacation. He's disapproving of you spending money on Disneyland instead of giving it to the poor people. It does not mean he's disapproving, disappointed, or angry at you for some sin. Because Jesus didn't sin, and he experienced trouble, hardship, and pain. So trouble, hardship, and pain does not necessarily come because God is punishing. And for believers, it never comes in that way. So Jesus did experience it. Now let's see how he responded to it. So this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible from my favorite book of the Bible, Hebrews. And it says this: during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. That's God the Father. He learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Okay, so let's take that step by step. So Jesus himself, it is telling us, experienced storms of fear and pain and trouble and hardship. Okay? How did he respond? It's right here. How did Jesus respond? He prayed. What were his prayers like? How did he pray? It says it right here. Crying with tears. It was hard for him as he prayed. It was not perfect. It was not easy. So even in his prayers, it's painful for him to pray about this. What was the reason? What was the result from what he suffered, right? What was the result from what he suffered? It says this in Hebrews here. What did he learn? Obedience. The three dots there, I have it summarized, but it says, Son of God, Son though he was. So it's saying his official position as Son of God is still true, but he had to learn as a human being what it meant to obey his Father. And that it comes, when you're on mission, it comes with trouble, hardship, and pain. So actually, the Son of God, who knows everything, learned something because he was in his state of humiliation and he was human, flesh and bones. So Jesus learned. Big question. He prayed to the one who could save him from death. Did God the Father save Jesus from death? It's a trick question. Is Jesus dead now? No! So, did God the Father save him from death? Yes. Sure, he died, but he didn't stay dead. Christ is risen. Whoa, that's pretty good. I thought I'd sneak that in there. Thank you. Christ is risen. He's alive. Yes, God the Father saved him from death. Did Jesus get the disciples to the other side of the Sea of Galilee? Now, they thought they were going to drown. They thought, he said we are going to the other side. There's a deadly storm. Because of the deadly storm, there's no way we're getting to the other side. Well, what if Jesus wanted them to get to the other side floating on a plank of the boat that capsized and was smashed by the waves, but they each caught a piece of wood and they floated to their side? Would that be getting them to the other side? Sure. What if the boat capsized and another boat came along and rescued them and took them to the other side? Would that be getting them to the other side? Sure. There are numerous ways that they could get to the other side. They just had their mind focused on the way that they thought was best. So those are lessons for us. When trouble, hardship, and pain happen, when we're on mission, when we're trying to be the dad that Jesus wants us to be, when we're trying to be the follower of Jesus that he wants us to be, and bad things happen to good people, there's a reason. And it's not because we've sinned. It's because Jesus has plans for us. What was the good thing that happened because of the storm for the disciples? You remember that? What happened after Jesus calmed the storm? They were in awe. These men appreciated Jesus and understood him in new ways because he brought them through the storm. And it says they worshiped him. Wow, this is amazing. So Jesus uses the storms in your life too. He never promises to keep you safe from storms. He promises to keep you safe through storms. Understand the difference. In this story, there's now the third component of the story is Jesus driving out demons. So I was thinking about this and realizing we are so good today in our expertise and our technology at forecasting weather. Like the big storm that came, we knew it was coming. We could watch the radar and see it coming. I mean, you could get notification alerts on your phone that tell you in exactly 8 minutes there's going to be a flood warning, flood watch, flood-producing storm in 8 minutes that's going to come over your house. We're so good at predicting weather in that way. That makes me think this. I wish somehow there was a phone alert or notification that could come on my phone that would tell me, the devil's getting really close to you right now, and he's going to tell you this lie and want you to believe him. I wish my phone could vibrate in my pocket and I could look at it and it would say, there's demons that are scheming an ambush for you right now. When you turn the corner, be careful. I can't find an app that can give me any of those alerts. But here's our alert. It's right here in this section of Jesus encountering the devil and especially his demons. They are real. They were real during Jesus' time, and they're real today. I feel that we don't pay enough attention to the reality of the depth and darkness and power of this spiritual enemy, the devil and his demons. They are real. They want to hurt you. They want to kill you. If they cannot kill you, they want to torture you and take your soul to hell and your body too. They are actually trying to do that right now as I am talking, right now, right here. So the Bible warns us, says this, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil. See, they're Jesus' enemy too, and Jesus body slams these demons who are possessing these men, and he knocks them out, and he throws them into the pigs, and the pigs die, and the demons go away, and the people in the town are like, what happened to our pigs? And they don't recognize that it was a work of Jesus. So here's the lesson. Recognize the work of Jesus in your life as he body slams the devil and his demons in your life and protects you from them as your enemy. He has defeated them once. He defeats them every day. And recognize it. The people of the town didn't recognize it. They didn't benefit from what Jesus did. Recognize it. Here's a way for you to recognize this. Every morning before your feet hit the floor, ask two questions. Ask two questions. Number one, remind yourself. You can do this in prayer. God, I know that the devil and his demons are going to be after me today. I know that they are going to tempt me to sin, that they're going to accuse me of shame, and they're going to do everything they can to take me away from you. I know it's going to happen. God, here's my request. Here's the question. Can I identify this and recognize the lies of the enemy? God, please help me to do that. That's number one. Can I identify and recognize the lies of the enemy? That's how they operate. Number two, God, I know your son Jesus has already defeated the devil and that he has no power over me unless I give it to him. I know that your resurrection from the dead totally obliterated any power he has over me or anyone in your kingdom, Jesus. And I know you rescue me from him, not by lies, but by the truth. And Jesus, I want to believe your truth because your truth sets me free. So here's the question. How, Jesus, do I hear your truth today? How do I recognize the truth that you have for me that delivers me from the power of evil and sin and the devil? I want to recognize it and I want to identify it. And that's what you do before you start your day. And you will recognize and identify Jesus as you listen to his word and spend time in your Bible and your Bible reading. That's the third big thing, spiritual warfare. Don't be afraid that there's a struggle. Don't be afraid that you're being tempted. The devil works hard on Jesus' followers. Be ready for it. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to Tell Podcasts. Tell's mission is simple: teaching you the real gospel so you can teach others. Remember, truth brings peace. For more about Tell, visit us on Facebook or at tellnetwork.org.